Okay, so before everybody came, Veena asked me a very high-level question. She pointed out, she has observed, that many of the Prabhupada disciples, now they're leaving their bodies one after another. Sometimes they are very ill, sometimes destitute. So Veena wanted to know why this is happening. Correct?
Yeah, because they did the... I understand.
So that's what I want. So when Veena asked me the question, I said there are two reasons why this could happen. Because people think, hey, why should I do all this seva? Why should I surrender to Krishna? Look what happens. So the answer is two answers. One is that in each of us, after we surrender to Krishna, and after we fully engage, there's still a little bit of karma that has to be dealt with. Just a little bit. Because we learn in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you surrender, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But there's still some little bit. So devotees will suffer or have to undergo severe hardship in order to burn up that last little bit of karma that remains. That's just a little bit. But it has to be dealt with, has to be burnt up. So Krishna will arrange that sometimes a devotee will become seriously ill or in a poverty condition. And then the other answer is that sometimes Krishna puts his devotees in such a situation that they have no recourse but just to fully surrender. Because we may think we're surrendered, but we still have a lot more surrendering to do. So if we still have some kind of material attachment, then Krishna, like a loving parent, will create a situation, a scenario, where the devotee realizes this material attachment that I have, this is not good for me. I need to clear it up. So the way to do that is you have to completely take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna will sometimes arrange a situation where the devotee has no other choice but to fully, fully surrender. You all know better than me the story of Draupadi being disrobed. At first, she was trying to hold on to her sari, protecting her honor. So she was still trying to protect herself. But then she realized, look, there's these big men trying to disrobe me. What am I going to do? So she threw both hands up and said, Govinda, you save me, you protect me, it's up to you. That is the mark of a surrendered pure devotee. We learn from Lord Chaitanya that there are six items of what is called Sharanagati. Sharanagati means complete full shelter of Krishna. Complete. So one of those is that the devotee has no other shelter than Krishna. Before you came, Veena and I had many nice talks. Veena was revealing her devotional mind. And one thing that I really liked what she said was she has understood that Krishna is the only one. Did you not say that?
Yeah, I said you can put any picture, but there is only one.
Krishna's. Then she said something even more surprising. Even more. She said that, I can't remember exactly, but I will paraphrase. The way to Krishna is through Prabhupada. Did you say something like that? And then what else did Veena say? Veena said, where does she want to leave her body? Vrindavan. And I told her that was also Prabhupada's decision. Because Prabhupada was in London. And he was going to tour one last time all his temples. I was in New York at that time. So we were expecting Prabhupada, because usually he would go to London, then come to New York. That was usually how he did. So we were expecting Prabhupada would be coming any day, because Prabhupada only spent a few days in the places, 3-4 days he would spend. So we were expecting, oh, Prabhupada's coming soon, he's going to be with us. Then Krishna had another plan. Krishna told Prabhupada, it's time. So Prabhupada could have decided, okay, I will die in Hawaii, I will die in Mayapur. Prabhupada chose Vrindavan. Prabhupada chose Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, my office is in Bombay. He built that Bombay Jew temple. But that's mostly for him, the BBT, that's where the Indian BBT is headquartered, in Bombay. So Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office. Mayapur is my place of worship. But Vrindavan is my home. So, you have chose very wisely. And I hope that Krishna fulfills your desire, that it happens. Yes, because to leave your body in Vrindavan, it's not automatic, it's not mechanical. I will tell you a true story. There was a devotee girl, American, and she got very ill. So she made a plan. I will leave my body in Vrindavan. So her and her husband, they finished up everything. They were young. She was like in her 30s. She went to Vrindavan. Something happened. I don't know the details. But something happened when she got very ill. Somehow or other, they took her to Mathura. And she died in the hospital in Mathura. Yes, probably. Yes, but on this particular day, something happened. So she was sent to Mathura. And that's where she left, not Vrindavan. So my point is, you can make any plan you want. But to die in Vrindavan, even for that, you need Krishna's blessings. But I would say Mathura, not bad. Not bad. Hey, look, because Krishna was born in Mathura, right? And it's one of the dhams, Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, Vrindavan. But still, the point is, even though she had made a plan to leave her body in Vrindavan. Yes. Why we? Why?
Because if I die, they will take my body next to Yamunaji, and they will burn it, and they will put it in
Yamunaji. Yes. I have some Yamunaji. Now, Prabhupada said, if you leave your body in Vrindavan, there's only two scenarios. One scenario, you die in Vrindavan, immediately go back to Godhead. If that doesn't happen, if for some reason you are not quite fit, you die in Vrindavan, you take one birth in Vrindavan, in India, and then you go back. So, either this life or after the next life, you're going to the real Goloka Vrindavan. So, it is the ultimate insurance package. And we will bless you. Should we bless her? That she is able to go. Oh! Now I am very happy. Okay, we're in the middle of blessing Venus. So let's bless her. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's how I want to see you always. Look at that smile she has. Jai. I am so happy. Subhadra and Rasikbhai. Jai. I know it was a long journey. I know. Jai Ho. Hari Bol. You came alone?
Yeah, she's gone.
Yes. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vannachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varad Hari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Vrat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vannat Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Bharat Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Jamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Shekhar, you're not going to be comfortable there. Sit here or sit next to me. You have to be comfortable. That is not, you're not supposed to do yoga now. Now you're supposed to sit. Why? Sit, no, not on the floor. That's better. Now I'm happy. Now I'm happy. Krishna Kumar, you're studying Bhagavad Gita these days, right? Any questions in your readings that come up? Anything? Can't tell me now? No, tell me, ask me now. Yes. Okay, good question. So, actually, there is no difference if you go by how Prabhupada is explaining. Because throughout the Gita, he'll use the term karma yoga, buddhi yoga, bhakti yoga, synonymous. So, when he entitles chapter 5, karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness, all he's doing is clarifying that this is karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Because the word karma means, in this sense, work. But karma yoga, as soon as, and he explains this somewhere in the purports, as soon as you use the word yoga, this means there's some connection with God. All right? Otherwise, it's just karma. So there's, now, this word karma in Sanskrit can mean action. It can mean work. It can also mean a reaction. So karma yoga is different than karma kanda. Karma kanda, now that's not karma yoga. Some people may think, but no. Karma kanda is completely material. Karma yoga is, like I'm saying, according to the way, in the context, Prabhupada explains in his Gita, it's synonymous with buddhi yoga, which is synonymous with bhakti yoga. Good? Now, Rasik Bhai, why do you like that song, Jai Radha Madhav? Compact. And do you have a question today to ask me? Okay, I got you. I got your question. So, the solution, the first solution is you have to become determined. That is why when in ISKCON somebody wants to get initiated, they have to make vows. Because without those vows, you're not going to be able to be steady and determined. And alongside of that, one is accepting a spiritual master. I'll give you a material example. Sometimes, when people want to get better health shape, they'll get a personal trainer, right? That personal trainer forces them and makes them do things that they may not feel like doing on their own. The spiritual master is like that. One time, Prabhupada was on a walk with his disciples, and he was poking one of his disciples in the belly. He said, "This is my mercy, that I am prodding you." So, we are in the material world, trying to ascend to the spiritual world, and it's not something that necessarily is automatic, spontaneous, and easy. So we have to force ourselves. So the spiritual master is there to force you like that. So when you have a spiritual master, and when by the spiritual master's instructions, you make a vow. Now you have the ability to be steady. Because there's always, you know, you have made the vows. So I've got to do it. Prabhupada talks about, for instance, on fasting days. Some fasts, like Janmashtami, devotees don't eat anything, and sometimes they don't drink anything. So it's not easy, but you have decided, no, today I'm going to, same like a Kadashi, right? There's different levels of a Kadashi, but it's simply a matter of I've decided I'm going to do it, and that's all. Okay? Now, that is a blessing from Krishna. To get to that point is a blessing from Krishna. So another answer to your question, in every aspect of your life, material and spiritual, always seek Krishna's blessing. Lord Chaitanya points out that even if somebody wants success, karmakanda success, or somebody wants success through yoga or jnana, we're not talking about Krishna consciousness, we're talking about people who simply want karmakanda. Lord Chaitanya says they will only be successful unless there's some tinge of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya points this out. There has to be some tinge of bhakti. Then they can be successful. Some element. So I'm a big proponent, because I have experienced in my life, even before finding Prabhupada and Krishna, when I was a Catholic, I realized the power of prayer. And then it became even more confirmed when I started studying Bhagavatam. So whatever it is you want, you pray for it. You ask for it. Can I tell you a story? All right. I'm not going to mention any names. But back in the 90s, when I was doing these Namahat programs, when I started out, there was one Indian lady. She was very, very fixed up, very determined. Her husband, barely. And more or less, he was tolerating. And she was going full speed ahead. And he was like, So, she never thought he would give her permission to take initiation. So she approached me, and I said, you go to LA Temple, you stand before Jagannath, and you pray like anything. She followed my instructions, and sure enough, her husband said, yes, you can take initiation, but doesn't stop there. A year or two later, she said, now, I want to take Brahmin initiation. So she said, should I pray to Jagannath? I said, yes, again. And Krishna arranged, Jagannath arranged it, that in Bombay, the second initiation took place, not in the temple. The guru came to where they were staying in the Juhu temple, in their room, and did it there, with the husband's blessings. So, the power of prayer cannot be underestimated. And me personally, so many times, I have just cried out and begged. Like my wife one time came to me crying about our daughter. And my wife said, pray for your daughter. Krishna listens to you more than he does me. And it was serious. It was very serious. And I prayed, and within a matter of maybe a week or two, everything changed. Permanently. Krishna sent her husband. So, I've seen it time and time again in my life. So when you want something, pray. Yes. That's the key. That's the key. It has to be a non-stop, with every breath. Like I'm doing that right now. in terms of my health situation. Every moment I'm praying to Krishna, please save me. You have your hand? Same thing. Pray to Krishna. Exactly. That is the best. That is the best. You pray to Krishna. You indicate, I am now ready. When that is real, he will send. Yes, exactly. She could have done that too. She could have done that too, but that might have taken a longer time. This is the Bina purport. Yes, but yes, she could. I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. But, you know, she probably figured, I can't say for sure, she probably figured, if I don't do it now, it's never going to happen. So sometimes you got to take it while you can. Get it, like we say in America, get it while you can. Yes, no. It just, the problem was, she was going at 90 miles an hour, he was going 25. So that sometimes is a problem. And you have to be, in a husband and wife thing, you have to be careful. You know, you don't want to, you know, it's a delicate thing, keeping everybody happy. Yes. Okay, for children, it depends. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. That's my answer. Pray for everything. Now, that doesn't mean I just pray and then I don't do anything. No. You pray and you act also. Like Krishna Kumar has as his motto, and he's going to put it in his office, from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna Kumar's favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita: do your prescribed duty and at the same time remember Krishna. Bhagavad Gita 8:7. That's Krishna Kumar's, that's your new nickname. Just like Kamlesh Patel's nickname is 1866, your nickname is 87. So, because sometimes people misunderstand this. I'll just pray. No, and Prabhupada says the same thing. It's not that Krishna told Arjuna, you sit on the chariot, smoke ganja, I'll do everything. No, Arjuna had to do his prescribed duty. So the same way, we pray and at the same time execute our necessary duties, material and spiritual. Mahesh has his hand raised. That sometimes happens. Sometimes. But generally, and Prabhupada writes about it, the spiritual master will make the candidate wait 6 months to a year, and that 6 months to the year, the disciple has already been following. But there are some instances of someone was not, and then upon initiation, but 99% of the time, the system is for at least 6 months to a year, the candidate has been following, and then it happens. Other spiritual masters make the decision, like Prabhupada's standard was 6 months to a year. I mean, it's, you can see it in so many instances in the folio. 6 months to a year. It's even in the books. Things being the way they are now, for many reasons, some spiritual masters make the disciples wait 2 years, 3 years, in some cases, 5 years. That's between them and them. I'm just saying. Okay? Okay. Who has a question? How are you? Good to see you. Haribo. Amit, you usually have a good question. Do you have a question for me today? Yes? I will answer your question from two angles of vision. First, we know the verse of Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto. When Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit, if you want wealth, worship this demigod. Shukadeva Goswami says, if you want power, worship this. If you want progeny, you worship this devata. He gives a whole list of who, what demigod you should worship for certain material things. Then he says, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udara di tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. Whether you are without desire, whether you are full of desire, or you desire liberation, in either of these scenarios, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the line, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivrena means, have you been to the Gangotri? Okay, I've seen a video. How many have seen how does the Ganges come out from Gangotri? Like anything, right? It's coming out with full force. I thought it was Gangotri. What's it called? Gomukh. Okay, yeah, I understand. All right, I saw the video and it said Gangotri. That's how I know. So the idea is, and they showed the video, it's like you never see the fire hydrant, how the water, that's how the Ganges is coming. Powerful. So that is the meaning of this word Tivrena, that your bhakti yoga has to be like that. Very determined, very powerful bhakti yoga. So that's your first answer. Sarvakama, even if you have all kinds of material desires, worship the Supreme Lord through Bhakti Yoga. Oh, you want liberation? Same. You don't have any material desires? You want to go back to Godhead? You want to do... There it is. Now we will answer your question from a more subtle angle. You got the first one, right? That's the general answer. You understand? Now, another aspect, we will talk about people like you and others, your devotees, especially your householder. Householder is somebody who's got one foot in the material world, one foot in the spiritual world. You can't help it. That's your situation. All right? So it's unavoidable. You're going to, at some point or other, require some assistance materially from Krishna. Now, how to see it? And it's a question of see everything, your wife, your family, your job, everything in your life. Stop seeing it materially, but start seeing it as these are all different aspects of my service to Krishna. Then it's not material. For instance, you've heard me say umpteen times, we pray for somebody who's ill or on their deathbed. Let them have rejuvenation so that what? They can continue devotional service. So if you see that you require things, you can pray to Krishna that I need these things in order to continue my service. Now that's not material. Okay? Every month, I go to Krishna Kumar's office. We do a session of prayer. We thank Krishna for everything he has given us. And then we request, please give us more facility to preach. Do you understand? So, your car, your house, your wife, and when you have children, that's when the real fun begins. Am I right? The real fun begins with the children. Now everything changes because now it's just not about you, but it's about, wow, I'm responsible for these others. And the roller coaster ride begins. So, if you see everything as facilities given to you by Krishna, then you don't have to worry. Like we were saying, we should pray, right? You were saying, pray for the children. Right. Because being a father is a heavy responsibility. The Bhagavatam mentions, don't become a father unless you can deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. That's a heavy responsibility. So when you have children, you have to give all facility that they can become Krishna conscious. Like Mahesh, he's got his two sons here, right? So he brings them as often as he can to the programs. Why? He's not here just to babysit them. He wants them to hear the Krishna conscious katha. He wants them to hear the chanting and see what is this devotional life. He's going to educate. They're in school, right? Right? And you're going to send them to college, right? Yeah. So he's going to do everything materially and he's going to do everything spiritually for them. So he is your guide in this connection. Does that answer your question? Good. Who would like to sing? Who's inspired to sing? Okay. So let's answer the first one. According to how Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, akarma means devotional action. Now, there are two schools of transcendentalists, personalists and impersonalists. The impersonalist will tell you, no, 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 no. Akarma means no activity, nothing. You stop everything. But the impersonal definition does not make sense. Here's why. According to the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the soul is always active. So there is no possibility of the soul being inactive, either in the liberated state or the conditioned state. So that doesn't happen. No action. That's why the personalist definition of akarma is more real, where it is explained. Akarma means that you don't do any material work, but you do what is called Krishna karma. This is mentioned by Prabhupada at the end of chapter 11. He uses this word, Krishna karma, working for Krishna. So we said before, karma yoga, buddhi yoga, bhakti yoga are synonymous. Another synonym would be akarma, because when you're actually doing karma yoga, when you're actually doing buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga, there is no material reaction, good or bad, that you have to accept. Akarma means activity, and that activity is going to promote you to the kingdom of God. That's akarma. Meaning no material nature to the work. Yes, selfless. He has another word. Selfless means you do it for Krishna. Because the impersonalist will say, oh, selfless means nothing for me. So that's why once you come to the transcendental philosophy, you have to always be careful. Are you getting an impersonal presentation or the personal presentation? One has to always be careful, because you'll come up with two different conclusions, definitions, explanations. You have to be very, very careful. Now, your other... Are we good on that? Okay. Now, your second question, can you repeat the second question? Had to do with Arjuna and Krishna telling him, but what's the angle you want me to describe? Oh, yeah. It's if everything is fate, yes. I get this question every year. So some people think it's already predetermined, right? So why do anything? That means they don't understand. And there was this Indian gentleman a few weeks ago. He was debating with me over the email. He was trying to prove the existence of God, and he was giving all of these scientific things. And ultimately I had to tell him, no, you'll not be able to prove the existence of God. It doesn't work that way. Anyway, one of his questions was, There's no free will because Krishna already knows what is the outcome. And I said, no, that's not true. Krishna's knowing something has no bearing on the decisions you and I make. My knowing something, I may know that within 2 minutes, Prem is going to move his hand up. My knowing is causing Prem to do that? No. And that's why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I've told you everything, now you do what you wish. Yateshasi tatakuru. If there was no free will, why would Krishna say, do as you wish? Right? There would be no point. That means Krishna is an idiot. If everything's predetermined and there's no free will, then Krishna doesn't know what he's talking about. No. When Krishna says to Arjuna, now you decide what you want to do, Arjuna has free will. Now, yes, Krishna knows what Arjuna is going to do, but his knowing has no control over Arjuna's free will. And this is a big hang-up for many people. Not just this guy I was having this email debate with. Because he was convinced that because Krishna knows it's going to happen, I don't have any free will. No. My knowing something has no bearing on the particular individual's choice. Just means I know. That's all. My knowing doesn't have any... What?
Hey, let us say Krishna knows that Arjuna will fight. Can't he make him think that he should fight?
No, because see, that's the thing. Krishna does not... This is important. If there's no free will, then there's no such word as love. It cannot exist. Krishna has expanded himself as the living entities. Yes? We are Krishna's expansion. Bhagavad Gita uses the word Ansha. Yes. And he also says we are Ansha. Part and parcel. Now, that part and parcel has all the qualities of Krishna to a minute degree. One of the qualities of Krishna is free will. But his free will is absolute. Ours is limited. But we still have a limited portion of free will. Without free will, what's the point? Then everything's robotic. Like, this computer does not have free will. It's programmed. Right? Even though sometimes we make a joke, oh, there's a ghost in the machine. No. And I know, I don't know about you, but on Akadasi, sometimes machines go haywire. Yeah, on Wednesday was Akadasi, right? There was a complete blackout of my apartment building. All 400 units. Just like that. Boom. The electricity didn't come back for another half an hour. And my son-in-law, his computer just like went kaputs on the codicy. Huh? No, not that's every codicy. So. No, that would... then that would be a conspiracy. Some devotee is making the computers to self-destruct on the codicy to make business. No, but the point is, a machine, a computer, anyone who knows, right? The computer runs on specified codes. You press this button, this happens, this is a whole series, right? There's no free will with the computer, but we're not computers. We're soul. And with soul, there is free will. And it's that particle of free will that enables there to be this reciprocation of love between God and the living entity. You have to ask yourself, what is Krishna relishing when we serve and love him? In other words, Veena was saying before you came that she had a gardener and this and that, and now they're all famous and wealthy. Right? You said everybody who works. All right. Right. So, they become more successful. They get blessings. There must be lots of blessings. So you're all fortunate to have come here. It must be. So, that gardener, right? There's no love there. He comes because why? You pay. No pay? No gardener, right? Or same way with our silly politicians. You think anyone's going to be governor and do it free? No. So, Krishna, so there's no love there. It's business, right? It's just business. Krishna doesn't care about business. Krishna cares about love. So what is it that Krishna is relishing? Why would Krishna, what is it he gets out of having us and wanting us to do service? And the answer is, Krishna has given us free will. And with our free will, we have chosen to love him. That is what Krishna relishes. That by your or my free will, I have decided, Krishna, I want to love you and serve you. That is what, it's not the service. The service is just a medium. It's not the, besides, whatever Krishna wants, he can create. There's the story of Naranarayan. So Indra sent Cupid because Naranarayan was doing severe penances and austerities. Indra was worried, he's going to take my post through all these austerities Naranarayan's doing. I'm going to lose my position as Indra. So Indra sent Cupid. He goes, send Cupid down. Go to the ashram of Naranarayan and make him fall down to sex. So Cupid came with a whole entourage and created the beautiful atmosphere of spring, and there was all these dancing women just to break the austerities of Naranarayan. Naranarayan said, no problem. Naranarayan created his own set of beautiful women headed by Urvashi. And Cupid realized, whoa, I'm messing with the wrong person here. I'm trying to tempt this person. He doesn't need me. He's God. God wants something, it can just materialize. For instance, I might have told you the story of Akadashi, how Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan was fighting one demon. But then Narayan went to sleep, took a nap. So the demon's waiting. I don't want to fight Narayan while he's sleeping. So out of the sleeping body of Narayan, a woman came out, killed the demon. And then she waited for Narayan to wake up. When Narayan woke up, he saw, there's the dead demon. Here is this woman standing. He goes, what do you want? She goes, I have slain the demon for you. I want my own day. I want 2 days. Ekadashi. So, even Narayan wants to do something while he's sleeping. He just has to desire it. It happens. So it's not that it's the service, but it's that idea, that feeling, that cognizance that here is this person, soul, with free will, and out of their own free will, they have decided to love me. That's the whole crux, the whole thing. Unconditional, exactly. Unconditional. Or we say causeless. There's no cause. There's nothing causing it. It's coming out of free will. The same way the question is asked, how is it we fell from the spiritual sky? The same answer, free will. Some people think, oh, we fell down because we were influenced by something. No. It comes from my own free will or misuse of free will. Same concept. Can you please sing? Come on. Okay. The devotee works as hard as one can for Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does tell Arjuna, do not be attached to the results. That is true. Okay? But at the same time, you try as hard as you can. Because that is what Krishna is looking to see. The result, yes, you could say ultimately depends on Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita points out that there are five causes for any action. Then the fifth factor is the sanction of Supersoul. Okay, but at the same time, the devotee acts in such a way that because the devotee doesn't know what is going to be Krishna's decision. That's not in the devotee's hand or anyone's hand. So you do work to the best of your ability, and then for the final result, you depend on Krishna. And then the result, now, if the devotee is successful, then that was good. Now, if the devotee was not successful, the devotee does not just say, oh, that was Krishna's arrangement. No, that's not how a devotee thinks. When a devotee is unsuccessful, the devotee thinks, what must I do to improve? What must I do so that the next time it will come out? The devotee is always trying to improve. The devotee never thinks, oh, I've done it. Prabhupada taught us like that, that the devotee never thinks this is the limit of my service. And Krishna wants to see how determined. It took Prabhupada almost 1 year coming to America before he had anything to show. That's the history. For almost 1 year, Prabhupada was living almost like a homeless person in New York City. He had no temple. He was just depending on, he was staying at Dr. Mishra's ashram. Then he was staying at this person's house. The person took LSD and tried to kill Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to run down the stairs. And that, now what do? So it took almost 1 year before there was any success to show. So obviously Krishna was trying to see how determined. Krishna just cares about the effort. Krishna can do everything in one day. He can do everything. But he wants to see how determined are we. how faithful we will be to Him. So if you get the result, good. If you don't get the result, the devotee thinks, what should I improve? I'm doing the same thing. I listen back to these lectures. I do these programs, and on the way home, what am I thinking? All right? How can I do it better next time? How can I speak in such a way that Prem will like it better next time? How I can do this service better and better and better.
So in this way, we are thinking that whatever we were trying to do, if we did not succeed, we still have to try, keep on trying doing it. So we are saying that we know right, and we have to get it accomplished. It's not that we may be wrong.
You may be wrong. Okay, that's another question. That's a good question. Your next question is, how do I determine what to do and what not to do? That we studied in our Bhagavad Gita seminar at Shekhar's house. Krishna answers this question at the end of chapter 16. You'll know what to do and what not to do by the regulations of the scriptures. So, that means, as I said earlier today, in terms of Rasikbhai, you have a spiritual master, you have the scriptures, and you have the consultation of other devotees. With those three things, you should know what to do and what not to do. With those three things, that should be sufficient.
Okay, so let us say, you think your child is doing something and you think that it's not right.
Go ahead.
Okay, and you try to explain, but the child doesn't.
Okay. I'm missing the angle.
The angle is that you have decided that something the child should be doing.
Okay, as a parent.
As a parent.
Okay.
As a parent, that this is the way the child should be improving or learning or doing things.
Okay.
Okay. And you don't succeed.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
One is that you say, well, the God, if this is the right thing for the child, then the God will give the right inspiration at the right time, and the child will do it. Whatever the God is.
Okay, all right.
Or you think, no, you are right, and the child should do it this way, and you keep on trying.
Okay, so this is a question of what is the most intelligent an expert way to accomplish something, praying. So, for this, there's not one size fits all answer. Okay? There's not a one size fits all answer. So, unfortunately, in the case you've given, a parent and a child, these details are not mentioned. That is something you figure out as you go along. Because it depends on your relationship with your child. It depends on how much influence you actually have. What is the respect factor? Okay? So, yes, sometimes at some level, you just have, like, you've seen that bumper sticker, let go, let God. Sometimes that is your only option left. And sometimes, no. Sometimes you stay on it. For instance, husband and wife, for sure. My wife does not let up. If she knows I'm not doing something right, she will stay on it and on it and on it until I do it. Until I've had enough of her nagging and I go, okay, okay. So, it's a judgment call by you. There's a judgment, as I'm saying, you have to use your intelligence. Because sometimes with children, you can insist and insist and insist, and what's happening? They're going further and further and further away. So sometimes you have to back off. Now, when to do that? That's your call. But when do you do that? That you only you know because of your relationship with your child or in any situation. And okay, as we said earlier, when you don't know what to do, pray to Krishna for the answer. And that's happened to me time and time again. When you don't know, should I go here, should I go there? You pray to Krishna, and your answer will come. At least that's happened to me. Your answer will come. Okay? Yes? No? You want to think about it. All right, different question. That's all right. It's your house. Yes. The only correlation, and it doesn't necessarily mean so. The battle was fought in 18 days. Okay, but I've not read from Prabhupada that that's why there's 18 chapters. So I have not read that there's a direct correlation. So there may be, I'm not aware of it. Okay? But it is a fact, there are 18 chapters, and the battle was fought in 18 days. Yes? Go ahead. Okay. No, it's a very, this is Vedanta. Okay. First, let's answer the question, why are there living entities? There are living entities because Krishna wanted to expand his pleasure. Krishna expands his pleasure through Radharani. That's how Krishna enjoys. But he also enjoys through, as I was talking about, the living entities voluntarily serving and loving him. So that's why we exist. Okay? That's why we exist. Now, your next question, why is there a material world? That's a different thing. This material world exists because we wanted it. We were previously, like you've seen those TV shows, previously on... So previously, we were in the spiritual world. Inexplicably, not through any outside influence, from our own free will, we said, we thought, what would it be like to be Krishna? Immediately, the material world comes into existence, And Krishna says, oh, you want to be like me? You want to feel like me? I have just the place for you. It's called Fullerton. Go ahead. Try to be me. Try to feel like me. When you're ready, come back. Got it? This world exists only because we wanted it. Now, sometimes the question is raised, well, what if you're with your preaching, everyone is delivered? Then what's going to happen to the world? Don't worry. There's a queue. They're just waiting to come and take birth. It is said that when Lord Ramachandra was on the planet, he delivered everyone. But it filled up. It filled up. That's like, Mahesh, do you work with immigration? You used to work in immigration. Is there any like point where there's going to be no more immigration? No. There are thousands and thousands of people just waiting to immigrate. Yes? Right. So that's not a concern. Some people think, oh, if everyone became a devotee of Krishna, then what would happen to them? Well, that's like saying, well, gee, what if all the criminals became good people? What would happen to the prisons? You care about the prisons? That's a big concern. So, but that's not going to happen. There's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be somebody who doesn't want to be in the spiritual world with Krishna. Don't worry about that. So we just worry about us wanting to go back. Prem, you were going to sing? Like I said before. So we have all the qualities of God, like a drop of water has all the qualities of the ocean. The difference is the ocean is vastly unlimited and the drop is infinitesimal. So Krishna, our God, is like the ocean, unlimited. And we are like little drops. We have all the qualities, but we don't have the same potency. And our qualities in relation to God are limited. So that's part and parcel. We are one in quality, but different in potency or quantity. Yes, thank you. No, part and parcel is how it's like a phrase, part and parcel. It's a phrase, okay? You were thinking there's something different? No, it's a phrase, part and parcel. You could say your two sons are part and parcel of you and your wife, okay? They're not to be separated from you, but they're distinct from you. And right now, your boys can't do 90% of what you can do. Now, when they get older, they may even surpass you. But for now, they're part and parcel of you. Okay? Anything else before we have RT? Everybody's satisfied? Shekhar, anything else? I figured there was. Yes.
As far as spiritual, that's what they say. Whereas materially, everything is
dissolved. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because okay, you have a particular birth now. This particular birth was the accumulation of what you accomplished in your previous life. So, yes, whatever was done in that body is over, but it has continued on, especially when we come to the subtle body. We were having this discussion one night during the 10 days at your house. I forget who was, I think it was Ram Singhania, didn't know or wasn't aware of the fact that although the gross body changes, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego carries life after life. I remember him saying that he didn't know that. But that's how the Bhagavatam explains. The soul is covered right now by this subtle material body, and that carries on to the next life, the next life. Once that subtle material body dissolves by bhakti, then you're liberated. But as long as you still have that subtle material body, you take rebirth. And that's why Lord Kapila Dev tells his mother, bhakti dissolves the subtle material body gradually. It's dissolving. Or as Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpana Marginum. Cleanse the consciousness. Cleanse the mind. When it's completely clean, you see yourself and God. That's now, it is true what you said earlier. You've heard me say many times, there's an account, Shekhar Agarwal Bhakti account. It's not to worry about it. It's being taken care of by Krishna's assistance. And every devotional work that you do, every akarma that you do, it's written down in your account. Obama can't touch it. Nobody can touch it. You cannot go bankrupt. The funds can be frozen if you commit offenses, but you never lose your principal. Never. And it accrues and builds and builds. Like you did your 10-day Bhagavad Gita, your account went way up. Way up. Right? So, this is good. That everyone has their bhakti account or your spiritual 401k. And nobody can touch that. So keep doing seminars. Haribol. Alright, should we do RT? Lal Kakari ji, can you give us a nice Prabhupada Kirtan?